My sheep hear my voice. Of course, we know that's taken from John chapter 10. So let's start there. Let's turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 16. Again, Jesus speaking about us as believers, his sheep. Of course, he is the shepherd, the great shepherd, the bishop of our souls. Amen. But what an intimate and loving Savior that we have. And not just with his presence, but with his voice. Amen. What a blessing. And so let's go to John chapter 10. And then verse 16. And may this kind of resonate with our hearts, my friends, because, you know, we love one another. Of course, as a local church, local body of Christ, we are to care and love and bear one another's burdens. But my friends, we are not always going to be there for each other. I mean, literally. Okay. And when service is done, we dismiss. We go home. And you might be on your own on some lone Wisconsin county road. I'm just saying things happen in life where we can't physically, literally always be, in sitting alongside each other in a church service. Okay. But God is forever with you. And so I want this to really encourage us tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, as our shepherd, he is always with us and his presence goes before us. His voice is with us and he speaks to us. And so this is a comfort for us to kind of have. John 10, verse 16. John 10, verse 16. Wonderful verse. The Word of God says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Let us pray. Abba, Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our great shepherd. And thank you, Father, praise God, for his continual presence with us, and that his voice guides us, that he's ever with us, that he speaks to us. Father, that you speak to us. And so, Father, we are so thankful, Father, that we are never alone. And Father, what a comfort. Help us to continue to walk with you. Bless and encourage us tonight, Father. Help us to be attentive only to your voice. Help us not to be distracted or to be discouraged or to be fearful from the other voices in our life. Father, we know there are a great many voices. And Father, as we listen tonight, Lord, from your word, may your voice speak to us from heaven on high through the power of the Holy Spirit, his still small voice. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. The voice of the loving shepherd. What a blessing. The voice of a loving shepherd. Again, the life of a Christian. Again, your life as a born-again believer. My life by the grace of God as a Christian starts when we hear and obey the great shepherd's voice to repent, right? You know, and that's how we hear God's voice, to repent. Again, not a audible voice, okay? When I got saved in the LA Hilton in the hotel room there, I did not audibly hear, decibel wise, okay, the sound of God telling me to repent, but I heard the conviction of that still small voice, the Holy Spirit of God convicting my heart that I needed to repent and trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. This is how God speaks to us in his still small voice of the Holy Ghost. And then when we heed that call, when we obey and repent, that's when we get saved, we get born again. And then from that moment on, when we are saved, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. That is a wonderful promise to a child of God. And he guides us daily, every day, with his presence and his voice. And so when Jesus says here in verse 16, and they shall, meaning his sheep, okay, shall hear my voice. This is a very personal truth, literally like a shepherd walking and talking with his sheep, you know. And I don't mind being a dumb sheep, because that's how I am, you know. And I can imagine my shepherd saying, you know, "Here, boy, come here, wing, come on. Come on, let's go." No, don't, you know, but it's a very personal thing, okay? And it is certainly the most intimate context. And so as the songwriter says, I can hear my Savior calling, right? "Take up thy cross and follow me." And so he calls us, he speaks to us. Can you hear your Savior's voice? Is he active? Is that relationship alive in your daily life? Because God speaks to us through his precious, number one, eternal word. His precious eternal word. God speaks to us through his precious word. Every time we read it, every time we hear it, he speaks to us. And then he speaks to us continually through his indwelling Holy Spirit, who brings to remembrance whatsoever the Lord hath previously said to us when we read his word. Okay. And so he speaks to us through his word when we hear it or read it, right? And then the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us. We hear his still small voice. He brings to remembrance what we put in when we read God's word. So we got to read. If you want God to speak to you more and speak to you more constantly, keep reading God's word. And then he brings to remembrance, and that's automatic. He does it. The Holy Spirit of God brings it to remembrance based on our circumstances, based on what happens, what we see, how we feel. He brings his word to remembrance to us. That's an amazing thing. And this is an active communication we have with God. My sheep hear my voice. This is what Jesus desires of you and I, that we hear him, we heed him, that we are close with him, that he's speaking to us, and we can hear his voice. The Lord doesn't, if he doesn't settle. He doesn't just accept it when we are not by him. He seeks us out and he calls us out. Notice what it says in verse 16. Now again, verse 16 is a wonderful doctrinal truth, okay? The interpretation of that, Jesus is speaking about the Gentile believers that will get saved, okay, versus the Jewish. And so he's speaking about the salvation is also for the Gentiles, not just the Jewish nation. But there is a wonderful application to that. Notice how he says it here in verse 16. He says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. And so the idea is for the application, even as Christians, whenever we wander away from God's fold, guess what? God wants us back. He doesn't just accept that we're gone. He doesn't just settle and say, oh, well, Wing kind of wandered off. Oh, well, I'll pray for him. No, he seeks me out, okay? He seeks me out. He searches for me. He calls me back to him. He knows when we're not there, okay? And so the idea is not just when I wander away from the fold of God, when I'm drawn away because of my own lust. Now, that's bad, but that's not just the only reason that he seeks after me. But perhaps maybe when I'm left behind, when the flock of God moves forward following the shepherd, but perhaps I'm left behind because I'm overwhelmed with grief. Maybe I've been overcome with pain, or I'm out of sorts because of sickness, or whatever the case may be, and I can't keep up. The Lord knows I'm missing, okay? Even amongst the million of believers, okay? He knows when I'm not there. He knows when you're not there. And so he desires for us to be with him. He says here, them also I what? Must, M-U-S-T, I must bring. This is our shepherd's personal charge to seek us out when we are missing from the flock and bring us back. He's not just going to send a hireling to go get us. He's not just going to send a preacher, a missionary, a fellow Christian. These are all wonderful. But God himself, the Lord himself, comes and gets us and brings us along. The voice of our loving shepherd. I mean, this is amazing. I hope, I trust that you have a daily conversation with the Lord, that you speak to him, he speaks to you, but he has such a wonderful, wonderful voice, and his presence would delight us, his presence cheers us, his presence strengthens us. Of course, we know the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Praise God. But here's a warning, because just like in real life, right, the voice of God is not the only voice we can hear. We don't just hear God's voice. We also hear all kinds of other voices, right? And so here's an application for us from the book of Nehemiah. And so we're going to turn to the book of Nehemiah, of course. And whenever we say Nehemiah, it's a book about doing God's work. We know that. They're all working and rallying around, God's man for the hour, Nehemiah, used of God to rebuild a wall, And the book of Nehemiah is all about doing God's work, strengthening the brethren, right? Building up those spiritual walls in our life. Yeah, that's wonderful. But whenever we put our hand to do God's work, the book of Nehemiah reminds us, whenever we have a desire to hear God's voice, to grow spiritually, to build up those spiritual walls that we ought to have, there will always be voices of opposition, right? That's what Nehemiah is all about. Building, growing amidst spiritual opposition. Okay, so let's go to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, and this is a wonderful application here. Of course, they're building the wall. And they're literally building the wall, okay, the walls of Jerusalem, okay? But the application to you and I as Christians, the spiritual walls in our life, right, to strengthen and fortify our spiritual building, if you will, our spiritual temple, our spiritual house. Build up those walls of spiritual, of growth and maturity in our life. And so let's go to Nehemiah chapter 4. Let's go to verse 1. And so just like with these, just like with Nehemiah and company here, as we are always putting our hands to do God's work, to grow spiritually, there will always be voices of opposition. And so the voice of the shepherd is not the only voice that we hear. And we need to take heed, because which voices are we going to listen to, right? And so let's go to verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 3. It says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, very angry, and took great indignation and mocked the Jews." So he's a bad guy, he's a naysayer, okay? "And he spake," so that's his voice, Sanballat's voice, "spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, 'What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice?'" The idea is to be able to worship God, okay? "Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day?" So are they going to, you know, are they going to finish what they start? "Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Of course, again, the city in context here, after the Babylonian captivity, laid in waste and ruin. Okay, so they're trying to restore a broken, desolate city. And so that's the context. "Now, Tobiah, the Ammonite, was by him, and he said," so now he adds his 2 cents to the mix, so his voice comes in, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Okay, now this is not a compliment. The fox is not very heavy. Say, even a little fox kind of runs right up their wall, is going to come crumbling down. Okay, so I mean, these guys are really, boy, they're really putting the insults, laying it thick on the Jews here. But the idea, of course, is these are the voices of opposition. And so, yes, we have the voice of our shepherd who loves us. Amen. Let us not get distracted by all the other voices. But whenever we do God's work, there will always be, along with that desire, voices of opposition. Here we hear the voice of mocking, right? We hear the voice of mocking. And who are the Sanballats and Tobiases in our life? There might be a whole bunch of them. I don't know. Any naysayer against you doing God's work, that's a Sanballat, that's a Tobiah. In fact, boy, the internet, by the way, such a wonderful asset, wonderful tool to naysayers. Don't go there. Sometimes there's too much naysaying on the internet. Just don't worry about that. You know, people can openly mock us, and they do that. I get it. But then there's also Satan, right? Satan can also mock us. He can mock us secretly. He can whisper to us, and so we can have people who openly mock us, like Sanballat, like Tobiah. But you can also have Satan who can mock us in our own private time, and he can seek us out that way. What about this? Even my own flesh. You ever have that? Even your own flesh. My own flesh can mock me. You know, and sometimes I feel like I'm my own worst enemy. Like, I feel like my flesh is like Tobiah, you know, kind of saying, "What? You want to be a faithful Christian? I bet as soon as a little fox gets into your way, it'll derail you from your walk with God. I bet as soon as a little fox kind of stands on your spiritual wall, you come crumbling down and you throw in the towel." And sometimes that's me. I'm my own worst enemy, right? So you have all kinds of voices of mocking. People mocking you. Satan whispering, mocking things in your ear. Maybe your own flesh mocking you, my friends. My friends, don't listen to those voices. Mocking is going to happen. Brace for it. Our Lord Jesus Christ was mocked. Certainly we as his followers will be mocked. In fact, they called Jesus, a wine bibber? That's like a drunk. Okay, just boozing up. They called him a gluttonous man, a man of appetite. I mean, what? No way. Are you kidding? But that's what they called him. And then they called Jesus, they even called him, how about this? They called Jesus the devil. How about that? What do you think they're going to call us? But don't listen to the voice of mocking. There will be voices of mocking. Don't listen to it. What about this? Another voice. Verse 10. A voice of discouragement. Now look at verse 10 here. And in fact, the mocking has gotten so bad that the Jews, Judah, they've gotten discouraged. And so look at the voice here in verse 10. It says, "And Judah said," so now it's not the outside mockers that are speaking, it's the inside, the within. These are the good guys, but they're so discouraged. This is their voice. "And Judah said, 'The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed.'" And so they've been bearing the burden for so long. They might have started off strong and they could go for it, but over time they have worn out. Their strength is decayed, ebbed and gone, and it's they're so weak right now, and so they're so tired, and they're saying the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much what rubbish. And so they're so weak and tired. Have you ever been there when you're just so beside yourself? You're just so overwhelmed and tired. And then you open your eyes and look around and there's still so much junk and rubbish lying around. Like, oh man, I got a ways to go. It's not going to work. I'm just saying, the voice of discouragement. When all you see, all they see is rubble. All they see is rubbish. And they're so heartbroken. And so they say, so that we are not able to build a wall. Can't do it, Nehemiah. We can't do it. The hands are just weak. We can't bear the burden no more. We're just exhausted and tired. We're pushed to our limits. All we see is rubbish and more rubbish. What's behind the rubbish? Even more garbage. We can't build. It's not going to work. And then look at verse 11. And our adversaries said. In fact, so now Judah is quoting what the critics are saying. Now, so that those within are quoting. In fact, they're mimicking the voice of the mockers, right? And so it's they are saying what the naysayers are saying. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And so they're reciting what the outsiders are saying, that, hey, these Jews are going to be so wiped out, so clueless and so blind that we're going to just come right into the middle of them, and then we're going to take them out and destroy them and just imprison them. They won't even see it coming. And so it's gotten so bad that those of Judah are now quoting what others are saying. In other words, the unbeliever's voice has now become the believer's voice. And why are the believers saying that? Because they bought into what the unbelievers are threatening. And so that's really hard. The voice of discouragement. At first it's a voice of mocking. But be careful lest it turns into the voice of discouragement. In fact, look at verse 12. Boy, it gets so depressing here. Verse 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, so the Jews that lived in the countryside around Jerusalem, okay, they said unto us, oh boy, didn't you say it one time? They say it how many times? 10 times. Did you catch that in verse 12? They said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. In other words, the enemy is everywhere. We're not going to outrun them. We're done for, okay? And the fellow Jews said this to them. This was their voice of discouragement. They said it 10 times. I mean, one time is bad enough, but it just kept going. Like, you know, we're going down. You know, we're not going to make it. We're done. We're dead. We're dead. We're totally dead. You know, and it's just on and on and on and on, and it just won't quit. I mean, this is the voice of discouragement. And be careful, because when first it's the voice of mocking, that's on without. But then unless we are heeding the voice of our shepherd, it will become our voice. So with all this mockery, all this discouragement going on, what is poor Nehemiah going to do? Well, praise God, the answer is found in the Lord, our shepherd. Look at verse 4. It's kind of out of place here, but you know, you get the point. Verse 4, the answer is prayer. Prayer. Let's go to verse 4. It says, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Now, this is the voice of his prayer, right? So the voice of the believer, your voice, my voice, praying to God. So prayer, of course, is the answer. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. And turn their reproach upon their own head. And give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity. And let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So build we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Amen. The power of prayer. What a joy. And by the way, you ever notice, at least in the United States, at least in America where we are still somewhat protected from physical persecution, you ever notice that oftentimes we might be certainly mocked, we certainly can be discouraged, but I don't know of many here in the States that are physically stopped, physically restrained from pursuing the work of God. Most of the time, it's the voices that make us give up, right? You don't actually handcuff us physically, at least not in this country. We have our liberties to kind of do what we would so desire. Oftentimes, it's the voices that get us to hang it up. But we aren't physically restrained. Let's go to John chapter 10. We'll go back to John 10, and we'll kind of wrap it up here. John chapter 10. Let's go to verse 27. Well, we'll wrap it up there. John 10 and verse 27. It's So how we start is kind of how we end. Jesus Christ says again, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And here's the comfort for us. When we think of all the Sanballats, all the Tobiases, and all the bad guys in our life, and all the obstacles, if Jesus is right beside you, all of a sudden those obstacles kind of like, well, I guess it's not a big deal. Because if God is with us, who can be against us? It's just when we go alone and we're flying solo, that's when things seem overwhelming. But with the Lord is by us, truly nothing can be against us. And the sheep following the shepherd is based, as Jesus says, on a relationship. The relationship that the stronger the relationship is, the closer we are to the Lord. As we sang that song, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. When we as the sheep know the Lord and Savior, when we trust in him, when we depend on him, we know that the shepherd never lets the sheep down. And in fact, the shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What a comfort. Jesus says, the sheep hear my voice. Hear his voice. So if you hear his voice, you have to read your Bible. Read the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Pray. And then the Holy Spirit of God brings back to remembrance whatsoever he has said to us, that Jesus has said to us from his Word. But we have to read God's Word. That's how he speaks to us. And so when we pray, we speak to him. And so have close communion with the Lord, my friends. Hear his voice. Don't focus on the voice of mocking. Don't focus on the voice of discouragement. That can be our own voice. Don't focus on what my flesh is saying. Because Paul can attest to that. Whenever Paul had any desire to do God's will, guess what? His flesh had the opposite desire. Nope, don't want to do it. And so don't listen to your flesh. Don't listen to Satan. Don't listen to the world. Only listen to our shepherd. Amen. He loves you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father. What a comfort and a reminder, Lord, that you are so loving, Lord, and that we hear all kinds of voices in our life. Let us only focus on your voice. And so, Father, may it block out, drown out, and supersede all the other voices that I hear, Lord. And how many times, Lord, we've all been there. We get overwhelmed by what we see, just rubbish everywhere, and the work is great. But, Father, with you, nothing shall be impossible. And so, Father, we just ask that we continue to walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we pray, that we read and hear your word, be obedient to it. And we're so thankful that you speak with us and that you seek us out. And that we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for